السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, for the past few weeks we have been discussing the verses of Surah Mu'minun, and we have discussed at some length what are those sifats, what are those attributes which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says a believer possesses, which will grant him an eventually complete success. That means it will take him to Jannat, where afterwards there will be no pain, no problem, no difficulty of any kind. There will be nothing but happiness and everlasting bliss and enjoyment. So we have discussed that in this verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they are those people who have khushu in the salat, humility in the salat. And what is khushu and what is humility, we have discussed at length. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about those people shunning everything that is useless, that is futile. Anything that is absolutely useless and futile, whether it is a statement, whether it is an action, then these believers, they shun such type of things, they distance themselves from it, they have nothing to do with it. Then we were talking about zakat, the actual zakat on a person's wealth, or the purification of his soul, the tazkiyah of his qalb. That also we discussed at some length. Then we spoke for a number of weeks on zina, adultery, fornication. Now these believers, they have nothing to do with zina. They stay far away from zina. They don't associate in any kind of sexual relationship with those whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it haram upon them. Not only that, but they distance themselves even from the zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the tongue. Any kind of zina. And we discussed what are the harms of zina, and what are those virtues, and what are those rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to those people who restrain themselves when they are tempted to commit zina, when they are in such a situation where shaitan and nafs is tempting them to commit zina, but they restrain themselves with the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then what are the rewards that they get in this world and in the akhirat? And many incidents were mentioned. But today I want to go on to the fifth part of this ayat, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. We'll come back to that verse again before that. But let us discuss this to some extent. It is such a verse that we can go on talking. But here Allah Ta'ala says there are those who are very particular. They safeguard. They treat very seriously their covenants and their trust. They save with regards to their trust. I'm just giving the general meaning of it, that whatever is with them as a trust, then they fulfill the obligation of their trust. The amanat, the trust, it can be implied or it can be direct. We know of trust. Everybody talks about trust in this world. One is that trust that a person talks about, that he, for example, is going overseas. So he trusts somebody. He gives him the keys to his business. He gives him the power of attorney. He gives him the power to sign on his checkbook. And then he leaves. So now this is a trust that we know. Now if it is this kind of trust, also the person guards the trust. Or the person makes a person an executor of his estate. Now these are things which we have discussed in the past, but just to refreshen ourselves, that the person makes someone or appoints someone as an executor of his estate. Now why is he appointing him? Because he trusts him. So this is the trust that the person places in someone, that this person will safeguard the interests of my children, my wife, and he will make sure that everything is distributed according to Sharia. He will not commit any kind of violation. He will not betray the trust that I have placed in him. And he appoints this person as an executor. So if the person is in some position of trust, then this person does not betray that trust. He guards that trust. Just because he has the control now of that estate, and he knows that there is a very good property that belongs to the estate, which, because he is the sole executor, therefore he can rent it at peanuts. He pays miserable rental, whereas that same property in the market can fetch a considerable amount of rental. So now this person betrays that trust just because it benefits him now. And how many estates have been completely devoured and destroyed when people have been put into executive positions, but they were not trustworthy? The person passes away, the children are orphans, and they have absolutely no control, and this person takes the maximum advantage of these properties. He will get away in this world, but he's not going to get away in the akhirat. And the akhirat may be far away, but even in this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, sooner or later, takes away all that which he gained by illegal means. The laws may be in his favor. So that is the trust that we also know of. So this person does not betray that kind of trust too. But then there is also that trust, that amanat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given to us. Everything that we possess is an amanat, it is a trust. This word amanat has got a very wide meaning. So everything that Allah ta'ala has given us is a trust. Even our own lives, it is a trust. Therefore Allah ta'ala will question us with regards to our lives, that how did we spend our life. If a person has to give somebody 100,000 rands and say that I give you this 100,000 or 10,000 or 50,000 so that you take my life, so it is not permissible for that person to take that life. I can sell my car, I can sell my house, I can sell those things that belong to me, but it is not permissible to sell a person's life. Why? Because it doesn't belong to him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given it to him as a trust. So this life also, it is a trust, it is an amanat in the person's hands. It's not that he can just use it as he wishes. He can waste his life and think nothing of it. He can destroy his life. He can commit suicide. It is not permissible. We are not talking about those people who are giving their lives in Palestine and all the details that go with that. I'm talking about a person who is just taking his life because he is fed up of life. So that is not permissible. In the same way, this person has been given eyes, ears, nose, has been given a tongue, sight, hearing, speech, everything that Allah Ta'ala has given him, it is all an amanat in his hand. That is the reason why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala uses the term that يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows the khiyanat that your eyes are making. Now khiyanat, betrayal of trust. So if there is a trust, then only there will be a betrayal of trust. So Allah Ta'ala refers to this abuse of a person's sight, that when he is looking at those things that are haram for him to see, Allah Ta'ala says, this khiyanat that you are making, because it is a trust in your hand, it is an amanat in your hand. Therefore if you are abusing it, then it is a khiyanat. And that which you hide in your hearts, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is well aware of it. That means we cannot cheat and deceive or get away from the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So all these are also amanat in the person's hands. He is not allowed to use all these parts of the body just as he desires. It is an amanat, it is a trust. So if this person is a believer, and if this person wants to go to Jannat, and if he wants success, then this trust that are in his hands, then he must not betray that trust. He must fulfill the obligations that this trust bring upon him. Then again, as I have mentioned in some other majlis, that everything that we do, or in whichever profession we may be, taking the person from the top level, whether he is a king, he is a ruler, whether he is a prime minister, whether he is a governor, or whether he is a MP, or whether he is a cabinet minister, or whether he is in any other profession. So whether it is in the government level, or whether it is in the private domain, wherever the person has got some kind of authority, then this authority is also a trust. It has many obligations. We know that these days it becomes extremely difficult if a person has to get some work of his done in the legal way. If he wants to go and get his work done in the legal way, then those who are civil servants, they think they are doing us a great favor if they have to perform their duty. Whereas it was their obligation, it was a trust. They are being paid with taxpayers' money, so they should be doing their job. So there's betrayal of trust there too. In the same way, if a person is a doctor, then that patient in his hand is a trust, it's an amanat. If the doctor, if the physician, if the surgeon, he knows exactly what he is doing, he has been able to diagnose the sickness and the illness of the patient, then well and good. But if he cannot understand, then he must not feel ashamed to say that, I'm sorry, I don't think I can do anything more than this, you must go and take a second opinion. But if the person just continues, then it is a betrayal of trust. If a person is a principal of a school, or if he's a teacher at a school, and there are pupils who are writing the examinations, and he knows that this family member of mine is a useless student, he does not deserve passing, but just because he is marking the scripts, so he just gets him passed. There is a betrayal of the trust. A person asks, for example, a testimonial. Now we don't know that person from anywhere, or we do not know exactly what he does, but we just write a testimonial, or the person is just given a sick note. Now all this is betrayal of a trust. A person writes a book and he asks for a foreword to be written on that book. Now many people, they just write the foreword just because they think it will give them some sort of prestige and some sort of honor, and it will make their name known also with that book, whereas they didn't even have the time to read the first page of that book. So now this is a betrayal of the trust. If a person asks that, do you know so and so, now we don't know much of that person, but just that person is a family member, or is a friend of our friend, so that is why we give him a very good testimonial. When he puts a proposal somewhere, then we say that this person that you are giving your daughter to, he will treat her like a queen. But afterwards, when he marries, then she discovers that this person is a drug addict. And we knew about it, that this person was a drug addict, but we did not reveal it, because this person would have become offended that I'm your family member and how can you give such a kind of opinion. So all these are betrayals of trust. So if we want success, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you have to guard that trust. You have to be very particular that you do not betray that trust which has been placed in you. Now there are so many different areas of this trust, and this is the place or this is the area in which we are being tested, and most of us fail. We betray the trust, whether it is the usage of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our intelligence, or whether it is the trust that people place in us and give us their belongings to look after. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi says that one area in which people are least concerned, especially our women folk, is that a person gives, for example, he sends to our house a dish of food. Now we should empty that and return his dishes. Now it seems as if this person made a big mistake that he sent in his dishes. So we keep the dishes also behind. If a person has to lend somebody his car, then it is a trust in his hand. It doesn't mean that he can now just use it as he wishes. So there are so many different areas, and especially when it comes to our work obligations, then there is so much of betrayal of this trust. There is so much of betrayal of this trust. A person has entered into a contract, he is employed to work from 8 to 5. Now at that time he was supposed to be doing that work and not other work of his, unless he had the permission of the manager, of the director, or of the owner of the business. So it was his duty to work and make sure that he is not engaged in his own personal activities during that period of time that he is supposed to be working. He should not be using the telephone. He should not be using the writing pads and other things that are belonging to the school or to where, to whomsoever he is working for. Anything that doesn't belong to him, it is a trust, it is an amanat. Then even the care of that property, it is an amanat, it is a trust. Especially when it comes to our masjids and our madrasas and our Muslim organizations, then there is so much of trust property that is there. Because the people have contributed and they have given it as trust. Now the principal is writing his own personal letters on the writing pad belonging to the madrasa or to the school. Now he thinks that this is an insignificant thing. We do not even give it any kind of concern. Or his personal calls to his wife and to his family and to his friends he's making there on that telephone which belongs to the trust. How much of vehicle abuse we get when it comes to institutions and organizations. Things that are belonging to the trust, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will question this person. We can only use that much which we are allowed to use. Otherwise we must pay from our own pockets for the usage beyond that. Then we who come to the masjids, the water there is an amanat, it is a trust. We open the tap full and we sit down and we are talking away. And there's such a wastage of water. The light, sometimes it is not required that the whole masjid must be lit up. Just one person is sitting in the masjid, but he wants the lights of the whole masjid. And especially Zohar time, if it is just one saf in the masjid, or two safs, but the person who is coming late, because he came from the outside and it was hot outside, so he wants to make sure that the fans must be on in the whole masjid, right up till the back, because he will be standing right at the back and making his sunnat namaz. Whereas he should be coming right to the front there and make his namaz under the fan. Now these are things that we don't give any consideration to, but this is something that we will be questioned about. How much of wastage there is, and how much of abuse of that trust there is. And we become offended. The person just comes in and he says, why isn't the fan on right at the back there? Why, it is Zohar time and why there is no need for the fan to be on right at the back. If you are feeling hot, then go to the front. The two rows of fan are on there. So these are all trusts that this person wants to go to Jannat. And he claims that he is a wali of Allah Ta'ala. And just because he makes some namazes, some zikr, some tilawat and some deen work, then we take it for granted that Jannat too is guaranteed for us. But these are areas where we do not show very much concern. But these are things that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will question us about. Also, if we have to look at so many other areas, we will find that we are betraying the trust. There's so much of betrayal of the trust. So this is another obligation. It is a duty. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam mentioned, not only that, but he said that even al-majalis bil amana. That if there was some discussion that took place in a meeting or between friends, and there was this expectation that the other friend is going to keep it a secret, it was a confidential discussion. So that confidentiality also must be maintained, otherwise it's a betrayal of the trust. Three people were talking and they were discussing some important issue, it was a business matter or it was anything else. And it was expected that the other friend will keep quiet about it. But instead he goes behind his back and he informs the other party that my friend was talking about buying that property and it is in a very good area and it is coming at a good price, so you go and offer him a little more and buy it off. And we will share the difference. So this majalis also is amana, that which was discussed there in confidentiality, then it must be maintained, that confidentiality must be maintained. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he gave advice to his son, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in those nasihats that he made to him, he said that, "I can see that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has got great respect for you, although you are very young, but he takes your opinions. So therefore I want to give you some nasihat, some advice." And of the five advices that he gave him there, one of it was this, that never ever betray the trust that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has placed in you. If there is anything that he tells you in confidence, then keep it a secret. Unlike us, that we will go and tell it to the next person, that what I'm telling you is a secret. Please make sure you don't tell it to somebody else. And that person will tell it to the next person. What I'm telling you is a great secret. Keep it very, very secret. Don't tell it to the next person. And it will circulate in the world. So al-majalis also, it is an amanat. Whatever discussions took place there, of course, if it is something that is open, there's nothing secret about it, then there is no harm in that. But if it is something that was supposed to be kept in secrets, it was supposed to be kept confidential, then that confidentiality must be maintained. We must not betray that trust that has been placed in us. So وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَحْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And when it comes to their wadas and their promises also, then they make sure that they fulfill those promises. They do not break those promises. They guard those promises. There is no such thing as finding a way out. Yes, if it is beyond his means, if he was just unable to fulfill that promise. He had promised that he will pay the person at the end of the month, and he had every intention of paying. But unfortunately, he was unable to do so. Then it is his duty to inform that person that this is what happened. But give me some time and I will make sure that I will pay. Or he must dispose of his surplus properties and possessions and make sure that he goes and pays that person. But he should not betray, he should not break that promise without any valid and just reason. Inshallah, we will continue from here. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill all the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to do everything that is pleasing to him and to stay away from everything that is displeasing to him. And we make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala assist and help our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Palestine, in Bosnia, in Chechnya, in Kashmir, in India, in every part of the world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must remove the difficulties, their hardships, their problems, and Allah ta'ala must once again restore the dignity to the Muslim Ummah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.